freedom fiends, y'all. Broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Jeremy, can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it working? Oh, cool. Okay. All right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing. How are you? It's good to have you back.
I
missed like the last 5 million shows with me, you know.
I know. Seems like it. Yeah, because I was supposed to do it with you last week.
I was supposed to do it two weeks ago,
and like last week was going to be a makeup for me, but I've been sick for like 3 weeks. And
no bueno.
Really, yeah, I know. Like the last couple of, I don't know, last few days, really have just started to feel kind of 100% again. But it just kind of lingered, man.
Was it the flu?
No, it wasn't the flu. It was bronchitis.
That's what they
diagnosed me with. The scariest part of the whole thing was I thought at one point I had burst an aneurysm in my head. I had never felt pain like that in my head in my life. So it was really scary. It was from very forceful coughing. Because, you know, I'm sure you've experienced it where you've got the gunk in there and it just doesn't want to come up.
Yeah. And you call, like, you try to force, like, yeah. And I try to cough and force it out. Yeah. I've done that. Mm-hmm. And then, I put myself into coughing fits doing that before. And yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like that, it just sucked. But, it was pretty scary. And, pretty much went straight to the emergency room as soon as that happened. And I was in the middle of working. Didn't even think to tell my boss I was leaving. I was just like, I could die. Like, if this is really an aneurysm, I could die. So I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like you were at the office or anything, right? Were you working from home when this happened and you just
I was actually in the middle of finally getting dressed around 1. Oh.
Haha, the life.
Some days the pajamas stay on pretty much all day.
Hey, I don't blame you. I only do it during the weekends these days because I still go out and work part-time during the week. But yeah, you know, if I don't have to go out on the weekends, there's plenty of days. And if I didn't have to during the week, if I was still working more from home, I wouldn't. Why bother getting dressed? It's just a waste of clothes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel better if I actually, I mean, since I'm not going into the office, I just feel like a lazy slug if I don't at least put some clothes on.
Like
street clothes. I mean, I have pajamas on, but yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
in the nude or anything. It would be weird. Although it would be kind
well, it depends
funny,
on what
like,
it depends on what you do. I mean, certain jobs well, would be really yeah, weird if you did it in the nude. But
yeah, I don't have
Can
any.
We talk about video. This on the air. I don't even know.
I don't have any video conference calls, so it,
oh,
I,
there
I
you
do
go.
It. And I've got like my little my privacy sticker over my camera, so don't have to worry about that. Yeah,
I always have one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to actually probably should put one on my phone.
Yeah, I've thought of that before, and I just never bothered to do anything about it. Just because I think I use the camera on my phone so often.
Yeah, I do too.
For either taking pictures of the kids or with my business, I used to take pictures of the dogs all the time, or just like random stuff. Which is bad. You know, we were talking earlier, especially before the show, about getting older and stuff. And my eyes are so bad. There was a trick Michael taught me that I used to see things sometimes now. Like I'll take a picture of it and then I'll blow
expand
it up on my phone.
Yeah, like if you can't read something, I thought about doing that earlier.
Yeah, I never thought of that before. He told me that one day. I'm like, this is brilliant. Why hadn't I thought of this before? The Zoom function is your friend.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of glasses, like I'm actually supposed to wear mine, and I hate wearing.
I'm wearing mine, and I still can't see.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, I'm at the point where I am pretty. I'm pretty sure I need, at the very least, I need bifocals.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been to the ophthalmologist in a couple of years now. I'm horrible with stuff like that. I don't regularly get my eyes checked. I wear contacts too. I wear them sporadically now, so they last a lot longer.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've tried wearing contacts and it just did not work out for me. How do people do this? I'm like, forget
was it,
that.
Was it the whole touching the eye thing? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I just couldn't. I couldn't work it out, and I really wanted to, but I just couldn't work it out. And I was like, no, I'll just go back to glasses, and then I don't wear those either. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Getting old sucks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
It's not for the faint of heart, people.
Heck, I'm not. What is it? What day is today? The 12th, 13th, something like that. I'm not even 41 yet. My eyes are already going to complete hell, and I'm like,
wow,
man, this stinks. But I mean, it should be expected. This is actually pretty much right around the time I think I remember my dad needing to get bifocals back in the day. So
yeah, that's around the age, and it's probably. The eyesight thing is probably the, you know, no matter how healthy you are, everything else, like your eyes more than likely are going to age, like at a normal, you know, like, I mean, you might be able to keep your body and, you know, whatever young through, you know, nutrition and fitness and everything, but your eyes are going to go.
Yeah,
that's
tell me
just
about
pretty
it.
Normal. But,
yeah, and I've tried, you know, they say carrots are good for them. It doesn't help. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. I juiced carrots forever, and I'm like, my eyes are still, like, gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I read an article, and I can't source it because I don't remember, like, when and where or whatever, but it was, it actually said that for people getting older and their eyes, you know, getting worse or whatever, that actually playing video games is supposed to improve your eyesight.
Interesting.
There was some study that showed that playing video games improves your eyesight as you get older, but I don't know.
Well, there you go. The perfect excuse for me to dust off my PlayStation. That creates such a conflict for me, too, because I'd love to go find this information and see if there's any validity to it, because, you know, I'd love to have an excuse to play video games, but I try so hard to not play them because I know how easily I can waste just days of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll look it up, like during the break or something. And
yeah, no, like I said, it would make sense, you know, because mm-hmm. the constant eye movement of needing to follow things on the screen and stuff like that, I could see kind of maybe like retraining your eyes almost. But mm-hmm. yeah, like you said, it's one of those things. No matter what, especially once they start downhill, it's kind of hard.
Yeah,
you know, they do age. I mean, I guess I could go get surgery. Not that I have the money for it. But then that would probably end up being a waste, because that was another thing. I remember my dad doing that, too. I remember when he first got LASIK, when LASIK first started to become a thing. And he actually mm-hmm. put it off because the doctors had told him, you know, once you reach a certain age, your eyes will naturally start to degrade again. So you should wait until now then to do it. And then, you know, then you'll get a longer, you know, length out of it, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think he was probably around my age when he got the LASIK finally. And then less than a decade later, he was back to wearing glasses and bifocals anyway. And it was like, so you just spent all that money for what? the convenience of not having to use contacts for like 6 or 7 years, maybe, you know, like I said, I've kind of weaned myself off of them anyway. You know, you mentioned that before. I mean, I guess it's just easy for me to with the contacts because I started so young. I had glasses by the time I was 6 or 7. Because my eyesight was already that bad, and I think they gave me contacts by like maybe I was 10 or 11, and it was freaky for me at first, the whole having to touch my eye thing and try to get them, actually putting them in was I was okay with. It was getting them back out to the point where after I went to the doctor, you know, doctor took him home the first time, and like they make you take him in and out at the office and try to test it out and stuff like that. Especially when you're a kid, they show you how to do everything. Okay, here, you know, here you go, Jeremy. Now you try taking it out. You show us you could do it. Like, you know, managed to do it somewhat okay. We go home, take it out. I couldn't get them out of my eye for the life of me. Multiple times we had to go back to the doctor, to the eye doctor, just to get my contact out of my eye.
Oh my goodness.
You know, of course, then later on I was the kid who would constantly sleep with them in, even though I didn't have the breathable ones. I would regularly sleep with my like forever. You know, one
and
point
they
I went,
probably do really like stick to your eyes when you do that.
Oh yeah, they get all gunky and stuff. But by that point I had figured out how to actually get them out of my eye, even when they're like that. But like, I was so bad with that, so at one point I went to a new eye doctor, and the first time he examined my eyes, he kind of asked me in like one of those you know, I already know the answer to this rhetorical questions, basically, like, you know, you don't take your contacts out often, do you? And I was just like, not really. Why? And he's like, yeah, the back of your eyes, he's like, they're all red and puffy, and you know, because you can, obviously they're not breathing very well. Of course, that was when he first introduced me to the breathable contacts that I had no idea about. And although now today, like I was saying, I would worry more about them, but I've actually reverted back to wearing my glasses most of the time anyway. Just because of the things with the contacts, it gets so bad that if I wear them, I see okay. Like when I'm driving and out and everything, mm-hmm. It's just the reading type of thing is starting to get difficult. Because like I said, I'm pretty sure I need the bifocals. Because when I wear my glasses, most of the time I actually pull them up to read, and read with nothing on my eyes, and I can actually see better.
Yeah, that's definitely an old person thing to do.
Exactly. But when I and then
you hold it arm's length and
yeah. But if I wear my contacts,
need longer arms.
Yeah. Well, luckily I already have pretty long arms to begin with. If I if I end up wearing my contacts for you know, a day or something, by like 10, 11 o'clock, it's like my eyesight actually deteriorates. Like this switch goes off, and it gets even worse by that point.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, as much as I I hated wearing glasses for so long. Now I'm just kind of used to it. And I'm just like, I wear them more often than I don't, you know. I mean, I just came off a stretch where I think I wore my contacts for like 2 or 3 days. And now I'll probably be back to wearing my glasses for another month straight. Especially in court on Friday. Because, you know, I have to look as professional as possible and mature.
Yeah.
We might talk about that more when we come back.
Okay, yeah. Getting old, fading eyesight, fun stuff.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Because I don't have a birthday, Diana. I'm anti-birthday. We've talked about this on the show, I believe, before. My anti-birthday stance.
Yeah, I mean, I really kind of don't. Like, I mean, I guess I don't really care about them that much anymore. Maybe that's a sign I'm getting older, too. Like, obviously, Valentine's Day is tomorrow, or it's already Valentine's Day where you are, but
I guess so. Yeah
I
forgot about that too until you mentioned that, but you said something about that before we started the show, and I'm like, oh yeah, right, that's tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know, and I think I used to kind of care. I mean, I used to care about it. I mean, I think I don't know, like, I expected something, you know, flowers or dinner, some crap.
Of course you did.
At one point.
Typical woman.
Well, I mean, but I'm not like that anymore. Like, I really don't care about it. It's just.
You're a lucky man, Dave.
Well, it was kind of funny.
I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. Jen doesn't care about that stuff either. So
yeah, because it was funny because I mentioned it earlier, and he said, "Well, we're definitely not going out to eat tomorrow."
Oh man, that's the worst.
Because our restaurants are packed, and the
prices are jacked, and
right. Well, it's also Ash Wednesday too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so you're gonna depending on if your area is heavily Catholic or not, you're probably gonna see a lot of people with black
Long Island,
stuff on their
yes,
foreheads.
It is. Yeah, a whole bunch of people with black spots just running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because I used to be a practicing Catholic and I'm not anymore. But hence the fact that I used to.
Could it be considered practicing if you were forced into it? Because I was forced into being a Catholic for the first 16 years of my life.
You know, my experience with Catholicism is really bizarre because I was definitely baptized and my dad was an atheist. My mother was agnostic, but I think I was baptized because my grandmother insisted upon it. And so I didn't know anything about church I think we probably went to church like midnight mass and did all that just kind of customary type thing. And, culturally Catholic is really more what my family is, but, I gained an interest in it myself. So I pursued it myself and nobody forced me into it. Even when I was a kid, I went to Catholic school for like half a school year one time and I was older. Like I'd never made my first communion. I think I was in the fifth grade. And, and we would, I think every Friday would have mass and I felt like the biggest dork because I didn't know what the heck they were doing. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure I never went up and took communion whenever we did go to mass. Cause I was like, I don't know what these people are doing. Like, I'm not doing that. And, I was always nervous about, you know, the peace be with you thing. Cause I didn't know what they were saying. And I'm like, so it was just like Catholic Church has intimidated me so much. But I would go and it was this huge church and all the kids were going up and I went ahead and did it just cause all the other kids were doing it. And I didn't want to, look like, I mean, I was new at the school anyway and I didn't want to draw any more attention to myself.
Come on, take the sacrament. You know, you want it.
man. Okay. So, but I pulled something really dumb. Like I went up, I remember this so clearly. I went up and took communion, but then I couldn't figure out how I was supposed to get back to the pew where I was sitting. And I ended up getting into another communion line and I took communion.
Nice.
So, God, that was loud.
Just
sorry.
Keep walking around and around and around.
And of course, I go up and take communion because I was new and I like didn't want to be like.
Well, look how much experience you got the first time out.
And let me tell you, from that point on, like some kids noticed that I did that, and this one boy for the rest of the school year called me the hungry one. Oh, there's the hungry one.
Oh. Diana skipped breakfast. She had to go back for seconds.
Yeah. But I think because of that, I was like, I really want to take my first communion. Like, I really want to do this. And so I did. I was like the only kid and yeah, whatever. But then I kind of lost interest in it. But then later on as an adult, with my family and everything, I gained interest in it again. So I was a practicing Catholic for a few years and then I'm not again. So, there you go. Wow.
Yeah. I never went back. Don't think I ever will, but...
Yeah.
Well, I hear that music, so we're going to head off to the market. We'll be back.
Yep.
You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
So, last segment, we were talking about all that Catholic stuff.
Catholicism.
Catholicism. Yeah. So, and you, during the break, said that you had, you were
going to
say something.
Oh, yeah, I was actually going to respond, well, sort of respond to something you were saying, but, you know, talking about the whole experience. I wish I was laughing as you were telling the story of yours.
The hungry one.
Yeah, the hungry one. But I
think it's so funny now, but at the time I was mortified.
Oh, of course. I wasn't thrilled that I had a bunch of nicknames dropped on me when I was younger as well. Now I look back and either with pride or just laugh about it because, yeah, you know, I've gotten older. But Of course, at the time, it's mortifying, you know, especially in the situation you say in your way. You were kind of uncomfortable to begin with, and now you're being singled out. That can't be fun, but.
Yeah, and the guy, and actually the kid that did that, we ended up kind of being friends. I mean, I don't know, we were always picking on each other and stuff, but it was a friendly picking on each other. And like one time he stabbed my hand with a pencil, and
that usually means he likes you. I mean, if I remember the schoolyard tactics properly, you know, run around, pull your hair, push you down, stab you in the hand with a pencil. You know, all these things are common tactics for young boys who don't quite understand how to express their feelings to the opposite sex.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the lead from the pencil stayed in my hand for a long, long time, and I can't see it anymore, so... I don't know. I guess it finally did something.
Oh, gosh. That was back when it actually was lead, wasn't it? You know, back in the day.
I think by then it was graphite, pretty sure. Yeah. But the other thing that happened to us was, I don't know, we were throwing a basketball at each other in the classroom, and we both got paddled in front of the class. It was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I never had a partner in my pad. I got paddled at class, but I never had anybody to join me in that. That must have been nice. At least you had, you know, you weren't the only one.
It's like the things that you think are just normal when you're a kid, and you think about it now, and you're like, I can't believe they actually did that to me.
I never, okay, for the record, I never thought it was normal.
I thought it was terrible, but I thought it was typical, you know?
I know what you're saying. I just, on some level, I always knew there was something just like very, very wrong with what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about that story on the air before, but I did, mm-hmm. not only did I get paddled, but my mom was there to witness it and approved of it.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't let go of that one against mom for a very long time. I still haven't, obviously, because I still talk about it.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. There's things that I think can happen to people when they're kids that I mean, it just, it sticks with them, you know? I mean, I can honestly say that that's the case for me, you know, that there are things that happened when I was a kid that I still think about and still bothers me. And, you know, I have to kind of work through this whole, like, okay, it's in the past and time to let go now. And, you know, cause all it does, especially if I start to ruminate on it, it just, you know, eats me up inside. So yeah, there's my, mental health tip for the day. Let it go.
Yeah. Right. No, I of course, I know that's much healthier, but, you know.
It doesn't matter. It's in the past. That's supposed to be Rafiki from The Lion King.
Oh. I wouldn't have got that. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. It's not one of the ones my kids are super into. I think they've seen it. I don't know.
Really?
Have they seen it?
Oh,
actually,
my gosh.
I don't know. Well, they, you know, there's,
oh,
there's,
one
there's
of my
been,
favorites.
Yeah, but there's been so many more that have come out since The Lion King that Mike, you know, and there's things that are out right now that my girls are all into. So they may, okay. I don't even know if they've seen it, but anyway.
All right. So what were you going to say?
Oh, back to that again. Well, now I had all these other things to say off of what you were just talking about. you know, dude, well, you're talking about the, you know, whatchamacallit, letting these things go. And I was joking. I know that's a healthy thing to do that, but you know, I don't remember much of my childhood as it is. And I don't know if I've purposely blacked that out or not, but that incident is one of the few ones that definitely clearly sticks out in my mind. You know, for the longest time, I've always had to, there's been certain memories that I've thought I've had that later on after examining them, I could no longer remember if I actually remembered the incidents happening or it's because I was told the story so many times that it just kind of like, oh, like I, you know, feel like I was there type of thing. I mean, I was there, like physically there, but like I wasn't sure what, but that's one of those incidents, you know, being dragged into the principal's office and knowing that not only what I was getting was okayed by my mom, but she actually sat and watched it, you know, which was supposed to be, which, you know, the justification for that was supposed to be, well, you know, she's watching to make sure it doesn't go above and beyond. It's like, no, the whole thing is bad. There is no above and beyond. We've already passed that point. So
yeah, I honestly can't imagine like seeing someone else, adult or child. I mean, I can understand like kids, you know, they roughhouse or, you know, I mean, as long as it doesn't go into bullying or whatever, but like seeing another adult like put their hands on my kid, no. That I can't imagine like ever letting something like that happen.
Oh yeah, I couldn't either. Even the thought of it, my fist automatically clenches, and I'm just like, I'm looking to aim my fist somewhere just to punch. No thought at all. Just as soon as you do it, just boom.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Like I said, we all have those memories. I mean, like, you know, particularly things that are, I think our parents did. I mean, I was also bullied. And, you know, so yeah, I had kind of a rough childhood, you know, not as rough as some, obviously, but, you know, enough so. I mean, it can be traumatizing. It can be trauma that you carry with you your whole life. And it's really sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we try to, you know, and I mean, I know you probably like have that in mind when you're raising your kids. Like I know I did, you know, raising my daughter. Like I was just like, I want to do this very differently than my parents did.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Although when it comes to that specifically, it's actually interesting because, you know, that incident is obviously ingrained in my head, and you know, the idea of watching somebody else do that to your child. I as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, that's actually kind of interesting because a couple of years later, my mom clearly had no problem watching my dad do it to me either. You know, so like, I mean, I guess technically it's supposed to be different then because he's my dad, at least he's my dad, but it's like, no, she still sat by and watched another person do it to me, you know. But despite all that, and despite my feelings about all that, up until my kids were about 1 year old, both Jen and I had pretty much like we had talked about it, but never really came to like an official decision. But it was kind of like understood, I guess, that mm-hmm. we were sort of kind of okay with the idea of spanking if and when it came mm-hmm. to it. But yeah. we were going to manage it differently than our parents mm-hmm. did, because if I remember correctly, she wasn't, but her brother was. So she at least she was experienced, you know, being around it when she was growing up.
It may be even more traumatic seeing like one of your siblings like get hit.
I wouldn't know. My sisters never got hit. I was the only one who got hit in my family. But despite all that happening to me, we still like, I still thought that was kind of the last resort way to go anyway. It was only because I just happened to stumble across the idea of peaceful parenting right around that time that I was just like, oh, there is another way. But yeah, like you talk about conditioning and stuff, like just like I'm sitting here talking about how much that affected me, and even then I knew how much it affected me and how like, because I had tried to talk to my parents about it and kind of like, yo, what's up with this, yo, like why'd you let this guy do this? Like regardless if you knew the guy, he was the principal, I don't care, he's still like some basically stranger, like, you know, using a large wooden object against your child, you know. What was I, 10? Right. I was in fourth grades. What was I, 10, 9, 10? Like, what are you in fourth grade? I don't even remember. 10, 11, somewhere on those. So I was, you know, it's insane. But despite all that, and despite what happened to me later with my dad and stuff, I was still like, oh, yeah, we'll spank the kids, just because I was, you know, you're conditioned. Well, that's kind of mm-hmm. what you do. That's what, you know, kids get out of hand.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because, I mean, I wasn't even aware of anything known as peaceful parenting. And I knew from the beginning that I wouldn't spank Caitlin. Like, I knew I wouldn't do that. And it was because I was spanked. You know, it was because, like, my parents had used violence on me. And I don't hold that against them. Like sometimes the only thing that I'd say that I may hold against my dad is that he claims he doesn't remember doing it, like that he never hit me. But I'm like, I was there and I felt your hand and I'm pretty darn sure you did. And that's the only thing that upsets me about it, is that he doesn't remember, and I don't even really talk to him about it anymore. But, just because of the conditioning, because that's just what parents, that's what they did, you know? And a lot of parents still are like, that's just what you do. How else do you discipline your child? You're just going to let them run wild and be spoiled? I mean, come on. You know, but time out worked like a charm with my kid. I don't know why, but it just did. She hated it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be very, supposedly that's not supposed to be very effective either.
Oh, really?
But I don't know, at least I remember learning, or at least that's what a lot of the peaceful parenting people claim, that that's also either not effective or actually not a suitable way to handle things either. Well, but again, if it's non-violent, and if it worked, you know, whatever, I don't actually have a problem with it. I don't think it works. It doesn't work with my children. I've tried, unfortunately, we don't couch it as a timeout, but I try to do that, especially with my crazy little one, Emma, the one who definitely has my attitude. She unfortunately all the other issues too, but when she gets worked up, I try to isolate her from the situation and make her like sit down and stuff. And it doesn't seem to help. It helps in the moment, but, you know, 10 minutes later, she's forgotten all about it and back to doing whatever she was doing.
Yeah, I don't know why it works so well for Caitlin, but anyway. Worms. After the break, worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You know you want to be a filmmaker. As Rick of Rick and Morty says, school's not a place for smart people. Nowhere is this more true than film school. Don't waste years and $100,000 being taught by those who couldn't make it. Just get a camera and a $7 Kindle version of $30 Film School 3rd Edition. $30 Film School 3rd Edition is the recent update on the classic 2003 book that helped spark the do-it-yourself filmmaking revolution. written by DIY filmmaker Michael W. Dean, whose high-quality, low-budget movies star Academy Award winners and nominees, get worldwide distribution, and have been in many respected film festivals. The first two editions sold over 100,000 copies, and it's recommended reading in many colleges. The book is back, updated for today's high-def consumer cameras, but still has the same self-starter ethic and tips that no other book has. Get it delivered this minute to your Kindle or phone for only $7. Go to Amazon and type in $30 Film School 3rd Edition. That's $30 Film School 3rd Edition.
Boy. little depressing there.
Yes, welcome back. This is the Freedom Fiends, and this is Therapy Night. We're here as Jeremy and Diana, and we are baring our souls. And good times.
I bared a little bit more during the break. It's just, I don't know. It's like my mom is dead, but, you know, I still, I was just saying during the break that I go back and forth between... Like, okay, because I feel like just for my own sake and my own peace of mind that I have to find forgiveness for the things that people have, you know, any kind of, you know, offenses that people have committed against me in the past, because there's nothing I can do to change it. And I don't, you know, I want my life to be better, but I think as long as I'm carrying that stuff around with me, you know, it's going to hinder that. But I go back and forth with that, you know, and I really think it's like grief, you know, it's, you know, I'll find some peace and forgiveness for how my mom was with me. Cause you know, she was, I'm pretty sure my mom was mentally ill. In fact, I mean, some of the diagnoses that I've read of like, narcissistic personality disorder, pretty sure she was that, and
I think I qualify for that too, though. So I don't know what that
no,
says.
No, you don't. No. Mm-mm. No, definitely not. But yeah, she, and that can have a huge impact because there's a lot of things that go with that, you know, with being someone with that, with narcissistic personality disorder, that, you know, if you're not being treated for it, or if you're, you know, if you're not aware of it or whatever, a lot of your behaviors can be very, very harmful, especially to your kids. Cause you know, she was good at gaslighting, really good at gaslighting. And she did it in a way that was like, it wasn't so much like I was crazy for thinking something. It was more along the lines of she was always right. And I believed it. She somehow managed to convince me that she was always right about everything. And she would tell me some of the craziest things that now I'm like, how did I ever believe that? But I did. It's like, she's my mom. Like, why would she lie? You know? And, or, you know, not even so much lie, but like, why would she say something that wasn't true? Like she, you know, yeah. I don't even want to like go into some of the things that she would say, but you know, and it's like looking back, it's like I really had no identity of my own. And, I just kind of went along and believed whatever she said, you know, and not to say that I didn't fight back against a lot of her stuff. I was super rebellious and I mean, very, I guess, disrespectful. But I can honestly say that
how
I can't,
dare you.
That she probably didn't really earn my respect at that point. But, you know, she was the kind of person that if you tried to go your own way, then you were like basically betraying her. And I really feel like she probably saw me more as an extension of herself, that I wasn't like, you know, an autonomous, sovereign person. And so, yeah, like if I wanted to do something and, you know, be independent, it was like, it was definitely like a betrayal. She saw it like a betrayal and you were on her crap list, for a long time. But yeah, she disowned me one time.
Hey, I know what that's like.
Yeah. Well, I was an adult when it happened and it was kind of like,
happened last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing about it is, like, the thing that worried me the most about it wasn't so much the fact that she disowned me, but, you know, I had this child, right? Mm. And I like, I don't know how she knew it, that it that had happened. I don't know if, like, I told her that or she overheard the conversation or something. But, like, I was really worried that, that Caitlin would have the idea that I would ever, ever, ever do that to her. And I remember, like, telling Caitlin, like, I would never do that to you. Like, a good parent does not do that to their kid. You know, and yeah, that was really the only thing that worried me. And it turned around because she ended up being diagnosed with colon cancer and was in the hospital. And I found out about it, not from her. She called my mother-in-law and told my mother-in-law not to tell me. Like, she wouldn't tell me. And of course, like, I'm a pretty loyal person. And I did, you know, I went up to see her and then things were kind of okay after that. But then she died a year later. So, yeah. Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yep.
Very somber note.
We're gonna we all have our little traumas. We're all, not, I mean, I can't say we all do. I can't speak for everyone. And I don't have a mouse in my pocket. But I, most of the people I know have had something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
We'll be back in an hour or two.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Meow. We're back for the second hour of the Freedom Beats. You doing the intro, Jeremy?
Sure. Shall I think I am.
Okay. Okay.
This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beats Plaza, on the artificial side of the LibPair 2017. Yeah, something like that. I'm done. Pipcat,
in
we're
the
back.
Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah, I'm done. We're back. It's the I don't even. We've been talking Bipcot so much during the break. Bipcot and what? Exactly. Anyway, I'm Jeremy. That's Diana. This is therapy night on the Freedom Fiends. We've been, it's one of those nights we probably should have been, well, actually, no, I was going to say we probably should have been recording during the break. And then I thought about it. I'm like, nah, maybe some of that we probably shouldn't have been. Anyway, yeah. So you're just joining us for any reason. We're talking about all sorts of things. What do we start? We started off with getting old, and then we just jumped into a whole bunch of things.
We went
from that to Catholicism to a whole big therapy session.
Yeah, and family food trauma, family of origin trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot of that during the break, and probably some of our listeners have listened to Molyneux and his, he's a proponent of defooing, which is basically cutting ties with your family of origin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever thought about doing that?
Yeah. I had done it in other points of my life without realizing what it actually was. And I've kind of, well, some actually my family kind of did it to me this time, but it was kind of mutual. So yeah,
dad though, right?
No, my dad's the one, the only, pretty much the only one who's still in my corner at this point. And I remember when I learned about it, the whole idea of defooing through Molyneux, and you know, he kind of took it to the extreme where it mm-hmm. was, you know, at one point he was, I remember him very clearly claiming that he should, you know, pretty much anybody who is basically a statist was what it came down to. And even if they're your family, you know, you should defoo from them because they're mm-hmm. advocating violence against you.
Yeah, even though he's a big old statist.
Yeah, that could be argued, definitely. So I kind of wasn't a big fan of it on a large scale thing, but I can see how it can be, you know, useful for on individual cases. And I also, at least my original understanding of it was kind of like this permanent thing, but it doesn't even have to be that either. It can also just mm-hmm. be basically just a break for an indeterminate amount of time. And I don't see any problem with that. I think that's quite healthy. I think anybody in your life, mm-hmm. I am not somebody who believes in that whole blood is thicker than water thing because I've been burned by family before plenty of times.
Family can hurt you more than anyone.
Usually, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't play that whole game. I'm a big, you know, we've discussed the whole idea of AnFam on the show plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big more, you know, I'm into voluntary interactions, including the people that I call my family. I have a voluntary family that I've chosen to associate with and spend most of my time with and focus most of my attention and energy on. So, you know, I don't play those type of games. So as a rule, I don't necessarily think, you know, defooing is this cut and dry thing, but there are certain situations where if somebody is toxic in your life, then whether you want to call it defooing or not, that you're definitely better off without that individual or those individuals. And it doesn't matter whether they're a friend, an acquaintance, or a family member. You know, if they're toxic to you for some reason, then cutting them out, either temporarily, permanently, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't see a problem with it. I think for your own mental health, it could be very, very, a very good thing.
I definitely agree. And I mean, I guess I can't say that it has never crossed my mind to do that, but I don't know. It's like, I mean, I even had, you know, I talked about my mom quite a lot over the break. But the relationship that I had with my mom was pretty dang toxic. And I said dang, by the way. I had a friend, and this was years and years and years ago before, you know, I was, you know, knew anything about, I kind of knew it on an intuitive level, but didn't know, you know, very much intellectually about, you know, being an anarchist and being, you know, and voluntarism and stuff like that. And, you know, but I had a friend say, you know, maybe you should cut ties with your mother. And I just remember being like appalled. You know, that would even...
Because the thought had never crossed your mind?
At that point, no. Like, I was goodness gracious, the relationship was very toxic, and I was angry a lot. But at the time, it was, like, that wasn't really we had a relationship, and I didn't want to end it, and I didn't want to cut ties with her, but it wasn't... Our relationship wasn't a primary relationship in my life. Like at the time, it was my husband and my kid, you know, and the friends that I had. I mean, I lived like 3 hours away from her, so it wasn't like I saw her all the time anyway. So, you know, I mean, I think it was just, but still, it was just, I don't know. You mentioned that, you know, you've never been one to believe, you know, that blood is thicker than water. I think that I've kind of grown up with that idea, though, and that's a really hard one to let go of. Like I would, for whatever reason, like, I feel very protective toward my family. It's kind of like, yeah, I can say whatever I want about them, but you know, that's not cool for you to say, you know, you think. And
I used to be like that so much so that I used to say, you know, for much of her life, I tormented my one sister, the actress, and then ended up getting suspended for kicking the crap out of some kid just because he was obsessed, like he was obsessed with her, and like she used the term stalking, although the kid was really doing nothing of the sort. And I just, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, I can make fun of my sister, but you can't do anything to her. And I just like, I tried to beat the crap out of this kid just for, it's one of those weird things. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, I've always kind of had that, and I still have that to a degree. Like I have, you know, my dad's still alive, and you know, I mean, well, you know, his, my aunts, I have aunts, and, actually his brother, my uncle, died a few years ago. But like, I mean, they're all still around. You know, where I live, I have family, here where I live. I still don't see them very often, but you know, I mean, I don't know. There's something about, I don't know what it is. But I want a relationship despite some of the feelings and, you know, I mean, I could, you know, rarely have I really talked despite about like how I feel.
Despite the historical evidence. Yeah.
Despite historical evidence, I do want to have a relationship with my dad. I want to have a healthy relationship with my dad. That's going to mean, and I think I said this during the break and not on the show. Hopefully I'm not repeating myself, but I've had to make decisions about, okay, if I want a relationship with my dad, you know, something resembling a healthy relationship, then I need to decide, okay, am I going to like still walk around with all, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, like angry, still mad at him for what he did when I was 12 years old? Or am I going to like, you know, just accept the fact that I'm not going to get closure on any of that and never going to get a sincere apology for anything that happened then? And just kind of accept things for how they are and have a relationship, because he's actually a pretty cool guy. You know, I mean, I like him. So, I mean, even if he wasn't family, I would probably want to be friends with him. You know, despite the history, but, you know, it was just, I don't know. I mean, and the, you know, one of the other things I know I said during the break is when I look at, when I still feel hurt or whatever over, you know, offenses against me, I do try to, you know, take a positive spin on it. And okay, so these things have happened in my life, and these things, you know, a lot of these things happened when I was a kid, but I can take these things and I can use them to help me be more compassionate and understanding of other people. I know I'm saying a lot, and it's driving me crazy.
Oh, good. I'm glad you noticed it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about these things is difficult.
No, it's so, of course. Yeah. You're getting in touch with fear. You're talking about the ability or the difficulty of getting in touch with certain feelings, and as you're doing so, you're getting in touch with these feelings. So it's understandable.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just picking on you.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, there I go again. Yeah. So during the break, we also talked about, oh gosh, yeah, I lost that train of thought. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. So again, though, I get all this. You know, you were basically asking out loud about, you know, how do you go about this if you do, you know, if you want this relationship. Well, yeah, if you choose to still have a relationship, then I don't see how you have a choice but to let go of all this stuff, because at this point, it's pretty obvious that your dad's not going to change, right?
Right.
So if there's still things lingering there, like the things that you've discussed here tonight, or even some of the stuff that you and I have discussed off the air, like all of these things, if change isn't possible for him, and yet you still want to pursue a relationship, well then you don't
That's
have much
choice.
Of a choice. But yeah, you don't have a choice but to let this other stuff go.
Right.
Because you're just going
to
drive
things
yourself
as they are.
Yeah, because you're just going to drive yourself insane otherwise. Now,
exactly.
Just to, you know, to play the other side of that for a little bit, you know, for a second. Unfortunately, you may still have to deal with that, because you may try to do that and find out you can't get over these things. Because as we've been talking about, these things come and go in waves.
They come in waves. Yeah, they absolutely do. And I've been through the.
Yeah, you think you're okay for a while, and mm-hmm. you are okay. You know, you are okay for a while. It's not bothering you. And then something happens. Yeah, and so any event can trigger and bring up those memories again. Sure, we all deal with. Well, right. Anybody who's not a robot, and despite the fact that I've been likened to a robot plenty of times in my life, I still feel these things.
You have a lot of inflection too, in your voice for a robot.
The caffeine, man, does weird things to me. We'll be back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Okay, I had to mention this. This is completely not what we were talking
random.
About. This is a little more happy and random, but I ordered a ukulele.
Did you now?
Teach myself to play a ukulele, yes.
Is this a new trend or something? You're not the first person I've seen do this.
I think it may be a little bit of a trend. I don't know.
You know, what's her name? Oh, Nikki, the tattoo artist, one of the Michiganders. Michiganders?
Oh, yeah.
She recently took up the ukulele.
Oh, she did? I thought it was something else, but.
No, she's, okay. I'm almost, yeah, almost positive it was the uke, and she started doing it a while ago, because it's almost like therapy for herself, when she keeps talking about
that's
it.
That's cool.
And I know a couple other people that have done that, too. That's interesting, though.
Well, I mean, it's something I've thought about for a while, but I could never. I don't know. I didn't want to. I don't know. I'm just with Amazon.
You didn't want to take the effort?
I didn't want to make. I don't know. I didn't want to go to a guitar shop or whatever to look
for
a ukulele. Yeah. So I was looking on Amazon, and there's a ton of them on Amazon. And it just took me a while to decide on the one that I wanted. And I finally did. And I ordered it, and it should be here tomorrow.
Well,
and I'm excited. And I already know some of the songs that I want to learn to play. I'm kind of on a Beatles kick right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Going to play Beatles on the ukulele, huh?
I'm going to try. I think it can be done. Yeah. The first song I think I want to learn is Hey Jude.
Oh, I've heard that song way too many times in my life. I don't have a middle, you know, going back to talk about family stuff and whatever. I was never given a middle name. And so my confirmation name stuck as my middle name after a while, which was Jude. Yeah. So that song got sung to me a lot.
Aw. Do you know who it was about?
You know what? I used to know the story. I can't remember for the life of me anymore, because I was a big Beatles fan for a long time, but I don't mm-hmm. remember that story, and now I'm drawing a complete blank.
Yeah, it's actually, from what I remember, the song was actually written for Julian Lennon by Paul McCartney. And let me see here if I have this correct. So I think it had to do with John Lennon's divorce from Julian's mom. And so he was going through his parents divorcing, which, you know, I went through that and blah, blah, blah. And I think the whole deal was that McCartney just was feeling, you know, like bad for him. And so he wrote him this song to try to, you know, make him feel better. So, yeah. I can kind of relate to it.
Well, yeah. See, I never knew that. I guess I could. Well, I went through the whole divorce thing, too. So I guess I could relate somewhat. Although I swore at the time it didn't bother me. You know, talking about all those things. You were talking about.
How old were you when they divorced?
Oh, gosh. Officially, I guess 11 or 12.
Yeah. See,
officially it was later. Yeah, they separated like when I was, they separated, he moved out and he never moved back in, probably, I guess, when I was around 11 or 12, yeah.
See, I feel like that's a crucial age. around that time, if like if a parent dies or, you know, parents split up around like puberty for a kid, I think that's a really, I don't know, it's a bad time to do it. Because you're
Wait. You're suggesting that during a time when during a time in a child's life when they are going through one of the possibly one of the greatest hormone surges they will ever receive in a very condensed amount of time, that adding a little chaos is a bad thing to their established order.
A little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit.
Who knew?
Right.
Amazing. You don't have to be like a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist or anything like or any kind of counselor to make that kind of determination. You don't have to be an expert in the field. You could just look at it and go, well, duh.
Right. Yeah. I realized that a long time ago. I was like, well, could have been the fact that I was at a very crucial developmental stage of why it had such an impact on me. And I'm not saying that divorce doesn't impact kids or whatever at any age, but I mean, if you're into that nuclear family kind of thing, which I have a whole, I don't know, I think about like maybe that's not the healthiest model, maybe. I don't know, because then you have situations like that where you know, like mine in particular. I was an only kid at home with my mom, and that was it. I didn't have any other adult people or you know whatever, like different age people that I could you know hang out with or you know get help from or look up to or any of that. So and I'm not saying I buy the it takes a village, but I don't know.
Maybe more than one.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
And Kelsey Grammer.
Not me, man.
Well, that was just out of left field. And Kelsey Grammer. Maybe that's what you should name the show, and Kelsey Grammer.
Perfect.
So, oh, yeah, speaking of Kelsey Grammer and Frasier, there's this, this is completely random, too. But there's
especially because we weren't even talking about Frasier, we're talking about Cheers.
That's true, but Frasier was a spinoff.
I never liked that show.
I never liked that show.
You know, okay. And I'm actually a huge Kelsey Grammer fan. I mean, not his politics, but his you know always his acting and most of the stuff he's been in, I've always enjoyed. And I loved him in Cheers. I thought he was awesome in Cheers. I just couldn't get into Frasier. I just couldn't do it. I tried so many times. Like at most, once it was in syndication, if it was like the only thing on, and I was just sitting around and like wanting to watch TV or something, and it was the only thing that. All right, fine, I'll throw it on. But like, yeah, that was the extent of it. Just, I don't know. It was so weird because, like I said, I like him and everything else, and I love him as Frasier on Cheers. I think it was just because he wasn't that guy anymore. He wasn't. You know, he was still pretentious, but he wasn't the same, you know, same pretentious guy he was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember liking it when it was on, but I haven't watched it in a really long time. And I've noticed sometimes I'll watch something and then watch it again years later and realize my taste has changed.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, like I might not find something necessarily as funny as before or whatever. Because I also, and I, this actually makes me really sad, but I watched Napoleon Dynamite again recently.
And you didn't laugh as loud?
No. It's way funnier when you talk about it. Like when you talk about some of the stuff that happens in it.
Chickens have large. Do the chickens have large talons?
Do the chickens have large talons? Like it sounds so much, yeah, when you talk about it. Or Tina, come get some ham. You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, but actually watching the movie, it's like, you know, it's kind of sad. You're like, where's their mom? You know, it's like, and Uncle Rico and all that is just kind of dysfunctional and weird, and but whatever. So the point I was trying to get to about Frasier is that there's this YouTube guy, video guy, and he makes this show. It's called Binging with Babish. And he references Frasier some on his show, but it's a cooking show, and he cooks meals based on different like movies and TV shows and stuff, and it is so good. It's so good. Like some of the things that he makes, he actually makes them, and some of them are from cartoons and stuff. Like I think he did something from South Park and Rick and Morty. And he tried to make he made the Szechuan sauce from the Rick and Morty episode.
Oh.
And
another show I still have not seen.
Yeah. And just different things like that. But like he'll make them the way that they're actually designed on the show. And sometimes it turns out okay, sometimes not. If it doesn't, he does a new and improved version. But it's really, I like the way he has filmed it. Like all you see, you don't see his head at all. It's just him preparing the meal. And then he does kind of the voiceover after the fact. So you don't hear anything going on while he's actually cooking or you know, and he's not talking or anything. You hear the voiceover later. And it's just the way he does it, I just really like it. So Binging with Babish, I recommend it.
Interesting. So it's funny, as soon as you started to say YouTube video person, I started to tune out because then people always ask me about that. Oh, have you seen this? I'm like, I don't pay attention to YouTube. Like the only time I go on YouTube is to post my own content. Well, and I'll watch clips of things and I'll watch short things, but I rarely like I subscribe to a bunch of channels, but I don't. But as soon as you said it was a cooking show, then I'm like, you have my interest. I'm like, now I may actually check it out. I love to eat. I love to cook.
Okay. I'm like super excited now. Okay. Yeah. So, there's this other show and oh my gosh, what is it called? The dude that's on it. Oh, it's Meat Eater. Have you seen that?
Okay, is that the meat? Is that the? Oh, okay. I want to say is that I think the guy is on Rogan all the time.
Yeah, Steve.
Or Steve Rinella.
Yeah, Steve Rinella. Okay.
Yes.
So he hunts and then some of his shows are just cooking. Like he's had one where he just did different things with, you know, ground meat of different sorts, like deer and bison and stuff like that. But he did one where he made this meatloaf, and I was like, I have to make that meatloaf. That meatloaf looks freaking amazing. But he's bison. He's ground bison, I think, for that meatloaf. But I went and found the recipe, and I made it. And guess what? It was the best freaking meatloaf I have ever had in my life. And most people are like, what? Meatloaf? Whatever. It's just breadcrumbs and ketchup. This one is the food of the gods kind of thing.
You can do wonderful. I learned that when I went paleo a couple of years ago. You can do wonderful things with meatloaf. I'd like to try that recipe. I know who Rinella is. I've listened to him interviewed on Rogan a bunch of times. I've never actually seen his show. But he's a hunter.
Yeah, Rogan comes on that show too. Like he comes on.
They're friends and they hang out all the time and they go on hunting trips all the time. Yeah, I know. I just never actually watched it, but I know who he is. I would definitely like to try that. But yeah, the meatloaf thing, that's funny. Yeah, that's definitely one of those things that most people would think, what? Mom's meatloaf? It's like, you know, we've been talking about family this whole time and, you know, I mentioned it slightly earlier. You know, my mom actually pretty much disowned me. Although now it's actually even sadder. I found out I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but I found out recently that I have been making to backtrack a little bit, I've made fun of her or been angry with her most of her life because she's always been very forgetful, and I've always, you know, kind of alluded to the fact that she had like early onset dementia way back when.
Oh no.
And yeah, I just found out, like, it got passed to me through Jen, because nobody talks to me anymore, but my sisters still talk to Jen because they, you know, because both my sisters now have kids who, I've only met one of them. My
and
other
your
sister.
Sisters are mad at you too?
Yeah. Well, the youngest one, the non-actress, she was the first one to actually essentially disown me after everything happened. And then my mom did shortly thereafter. Although my sister's husband did try to pat, like he kept trying to call me, and he kept trying to fix things and trying to like get us to talk Aww. Again and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I give him credit for that, but she just mm-hmm. she's as stubborn as I am, so there's no getting through to her at this point. And her baby was only born for maybe within the last 4 months or so. I still haven't met her. And my other sister, the actress, her baby is now over a year old. I've only seen him once. Mm. Although there's a little, you know, they lived in California. Now that I think they're in Atlanta. But either way, like at least there's a distance thing. My little sister lives in Brooklyn, and yeah. I still don't see. I still haven't seen her or her child.
Yeah, so. I've come to find out that distance doesn't necessarily. You know, it, just being closer doesn't necessarily mean
you're going to see your family more often.
So,
well, no, you mentioned earlier something about being like 3 hours away from your mom at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mom, the entire time that I've lived here in New York, that I've been separated from my mother, I've lived no more than 10 minutes away from her.
Oh, wow.
And I still, yeah. even before the official, well, they, she now from what I've been told, she's claiming that never happened, and I don't know if that can actually be blamed on the dementia, or she's just being herself, which I've been trying to point out to people for years that this is just my mother. She's kind of manipulative. She says a lot of things and then always claims that she never said them or stuff like that. Yeah. Like, and not in the gaslighting fashion that you were kind of referring to with your mom earlier, but mm-hmm. just more so that I think she really convinced herself that she actually didn't say these things or that she never went this far. But mm-hmm. she's always had issues with that. And, you know, so I don't know what it can actually be blamed on, but
right.
Yeah.
So she has been officially diagnosed, though.
Yeah, what I was told, one of my sisters told Jen that apparently she's officially been diagnosed now. So
with actual Alzheimer's.
Yeah, well, early onset. You know, it's starting officially. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But like, you know, like I said, I still don't. It's weird. Like I'm not. I have a problem having sympathy for her because of everything that's happened, regardless of whether or not they're going to try to tell me that I should blame what happened then on this problem. It's like no, because it's not much different than how she was before that.
Yeah.
You know, this just may exacerbate the problem, but she was always like this. So I don't really, mm-hmm. you know. And as I mentioned earlier, I don't have the issue with, you know, blood being thicker than water for me. I haven't for most of my life. I have no problem cutting people out, regardless of where, you know, how they're connected to me.
Right.
If I feel that that's the best thing for me to do at the time, whether it actually ends up being the best thing or not, if I feel mm-hmm. it at the time, I will often do so. And I've actually had to temper that over the years so I don't do it as quickly, because I had a hair trigger with it for a very long time.
Yeah.
But it's a defense mechanism, and I'm not, I'd rather protect myself, you know, like any person, whether they want to admit it or not, you know, you're going to want to protect yourself before you protect anybody else. So yeah, in those situations, well, I gotta be cautious, you know, especially with the history of it happening so many times.
Right.
You know. But
yeah.
So yeah. Like I said, it's I don't know. Part of me thinks, well, should I be forgiving, you know, like you were talking about before, in order to mm-hmm. be, you know, move on and stuff like that. It's like
when you're ready. Win it well, if you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily because, like I said, for me, I think it's a little different because I don't think just because of my nature and how I've always been able to handle things anyway, I don't think I necessarily have to forgive at any point. I think I could just move on. One way or the other, I can just say, all right, I'm moving on and I don't have to have contact with you ever again, or I'm moving on and I'm just not going to think about it or not going to let it bother me.
Yeah.
And just move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I know I'm different than most people in that regard because I can just almost like a light switch, but that comes from my Aspergerianism, I'm pretty sure.
Well, there's some benefits to that after all.
Yeah. Hey, I've learned to embrace my spurkiness. It's all good, yo.
Spurkiness. That's a good one.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Oh, Henrietta was here. I don't know where she went.
It's been that kind of night.
Saying, kitty. Yeah. She might show up again, but... Yeah, so that was a show, huh?
So we're back for the final segment, which, you know, we were discussing during the break. Normally we have look for redemption sometimes, but I think we were talking about cheer stuff in the last segment. Then we have the whole show, so I don't know if we have any redemption.
Food,
left, but
yeah,
oh yeah,
food,
well,
meatloaf.
Well, food's always good. I am a foodie.
Yeah,
but. You know, the other thing that I mentioned during the break is about, you know, one of the things where we try to be aware of on the air here that Michael has kind of pounded into our head is, you know, never bury the lead for one. And also always finish what you start. You know, he often mm-hmm. talks about the story of Henry Rollins, who he loves his spoken word stuff. And the one piece that he listened to that always bugged him until he finally realized what the problem was, that Henry started one story that he never finished, which he was usually really good at.
Right.
So, you know, and on that note, we're trying to think back. It's like, oh, we covered pretty much everything. I don't think we buried any leads. It's like, oh, yeah, except we never got back to that whole Catholic thing with you.
Because you were going to say something, and I said it on the air. I was like, so, Jeremy, you're going to say something more about that, and then we got into what family stuff again or
yeah we continued our therapy session and we kind of just blew past it, so yeah, I don't know if we are in a redemption, but I might as in order to come full circle, we might as well bring it back to that because I think that started during the second segment of the show.
I don't really think it's full circle. I think it's more like a six.
Okay, whatever. Weisenheimer. Anyways,
otherwise
so, yeah.
We go back to talking about fading eyesight. Getting old.
Yeah. See, if I knew we were going to take this, I would have done the original the intro to the first hour, and I would have done my oh, the Get Off Our Lawnigans intro, where it's all about Ben Gay and all that stuff, and
all us being old and cranky. I've heard that one.
Yeah, I think I only ever used it once. I think there was an episode where Michael, Lisa, and I were on together, and it was kind of just like poking fun at all of us because I was the youngest of that group, but I was also having issues with my neck at the time, so it was a whole big thing about us all being old and crotchety and whatnot. But anyway, before we run out of time, I guess now we've talked about it again. Now I definitely have to get back to it. We were talking in the first hour about the whole Catholicism thing, and I had mentioned that it was kind of like forced on me, and yeah,
it was forced on you, but I chose.
Although
I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, I want to make that clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you were telling the story about your first experience with communion and how you actually double dipped, and you earned a cute nickname because of that. It's funny because I never the hungry one. I never really had to deal with that because I got my communion, I guess, on schedule. I guess that's around 7 years old. Yeah, around 7 years old.
Right.
And I always remember, like, I did it, and it was actually one of the most entertaining parts of church for me, like actually having to get up and go get the little wafer thing and all that.
Yeah. Instead of all the kneeling and standing and kneeling and standing and sitting and kneeling and standing.
Yeah. I mean, the only good part is when I was really young, especially when my youngest sister was really little, we got to go, the church we went to had a soundproof booth for families. And my mom would always sit us in there, which meant me and my other sister could go a little crazy if, you know, we would get, you know, yelled at eventually about the fact that we weren't paying attention, but we could get away with not paying as much attention. But yeah, getting up and actually having to go get that was the entertaining part. But I always remember the one thing that always freaked me out about that was watching the people that would take it directly from the priest.
Oh, instead of putting it in your hand?
And like, even though, no matter what, the priest has his hands on it, he's giving it to you, like, after he's done this whole weird ritual where he's rubbing stuff and, like, got oils and wine and whatever in his hands, and he's mixing stuff back and forth. Like, what? It was like a little magic show almost. I never understood what the heck he was really doing.
It's a magic show. Yeah. I mean, it kind of is. It's like he's turning that blood the bread and wine.
Well, I don't know. It depends what kind of church you went to. I don't know where you were hanging out. But anyway, that thing always freaked me out the most was that, like I said, despite the fact that they touched or whatever, but it was the fact that, like, watching the people do that, I never understood how people could do that. And sometimes there was like the people who gave it, because sometimes it wasn't the priest, they also had helpers that would give it out, and some of them were more pushy and would try to, like, actually put it towards your mouth, and I have to raise my hands really high. It's like, no, man, here, no, put it here, no, none of that, no, we're not doing that stuff.
I don't want your fingers anywhere near my mouth. I saw where they were.
Exactly. So one of my clearest memories of my days in church. But
yeah,
anyway,
it's pretty funny.
It's been a fun show, I guess. It's been a productive show. Let's call it that. Yeah. I don't know if we could call it fun, but it's always fun being with you, Diana. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
Same here, Jeremy. Yep.